Chapter 10. Sometimes it was better not to know. Yasugai had often argued with Ahriman over the point. The Thousand Sons in general had never accepted that knowledge, any knowledge, should remain off limits. "All is good," the chief librarian had told him once. "The more, the better." But the old weathermakers of Chogoris had always resisted plumbing the depths of their craft, choosing to remain on the surface of it, honing a set of skills that they knew rested on deeper, more dangerous truths. That had always struck Yasugai as wisdom, not cowardice, for the sages of his homeworld had made a virtue of restraint.
"Everything has its perils," Yasugai had warned Ahriman.
"You are too cautious," Ahriman had replied. "Does anyone even know what gifts you have?"
"Perhaps not. But why should I care?"
"Because it matters how you are perceived."
"You are perceived as dangerous. Does that not matter?"
Ahriman had looked rueful.
"You understand us. Do you think we are dangerous?"
Back then, Yasugai had not wanted to reply.
"Sometimes I do," he had thought.
Now, in his chambers on the Sickle Moon, he felt sick with knowledge, like he had ingested something poisonous that had got into his blood. The scale of it was hard to process, let alone come to terms with. Zavan had explained it all in careful detail, omitting nothing. There were some details, of course, that even he didn't know, including the fate of his Primarch.
"We do not know what happened," said Zavan. "I think I would know, somehow, if he had died. But perhaps not."
The Salamander's legionary spoke slowly, deliberately, inflecting the syllables of Gothic with a rich, nocturnian burr. His words held no self-pity, nor anger, just a deep, calm defiance. Yasugai's response to the news had been different. Numbness followed by a desperate sense of failure. He had sensed disturbances in the fabric of the universe for so long. Perhaps he ought to have known, or guessed, or moved to investigate sooner. That mood soon passed. Treachery on such a scale was unimaginable. He could not have known. No one could.
"Horus, the War Master, the beloved son."
He looked up. He shared his chamber with three others, Lushan, Zavan, and a dour Iron Hands legionary called Bion Henrikos.
"You are telling me what happens next," Yasugai said,
forcing himself to keep asking questions.
"At first, it was only us," said Zavan. "My squad broke back into orbit on a captured 16th Legion lander. Our own ship had been destroyed, so we were forced to dock with one of theirs and take it over."
Yasugai smiled despite himself. Zavan's deadpan delivery could be quite amusing.
"Just like that? You take over Sons of Horus frigate?"
Zavan looked at him blankly, his dark features hard to read. He did not smile much, and his blank red eyes made following his expressions difficult.
"It was challenging," he said in his rumbling bass voice. "But they were not expecting us. Ever seen the Sons of Vulcan fight, Whitescar?"
"I have not," said Yasugai, "though have heard is formidable."
"We took the ship," said Zavan simply. "It was called the Grey Talon. We renamed it the Hesiod. That is a sanctuary city of our homeworld."
"I have heard of it."
Zavan nodded in satisfaction.
"Then we became renegades. We tried to make for Nocturne, but the navigator had been injured. She died soon afterwards. The strain of fighting the warp storms, perhaps, or maybe her mind had turned. I do not think she had expected to see the things she witnessed."
Henrikos, the Iron Hands legionary, let slip a low growl through his dark metal faceplate. Unlike the others, he had not taken his helm off.
none of us did.
And what of you?
Asked Yasugai.
Survivors fight on, here and there, said Henrikos.
His voice, unlike Zaven's, was acid with bitterness. Yasugai could understand why. He clearly had no doubt over his own Primarch's fate.
Scattered. Some of us found each other. We seek out survivors, added Zaven. There are only 16 of us, but we hope to add more. Then we can strike back.
Yasugai caught a strange look on Zaven's face then, something like hunger.
And now you find us,
the Stormseer said, making the Salamander's thought explicit.
A warp-capable ship with living navigator.
Zaven nodded.
Henrikos is a master of ship systems. He has found a way to track warp wakes at distance, so we knew just where you would be translating.
But why attack?
Lushan asked. He was still irritated. The Sickle Moon had taken significant damage after an already battering warp passage.
We have learned to be careful, replied Zaven. For all we know, every Legion has turned to the War Master. If you had been a Blood Angel ship, or Ultramarines, we would have done the same.
Yasugai nodded with understanding.
And we are White Scars, he said. Easy for you to believe we are Renegade, yes?
Zaven said nothing, but Henrikos grunted mordantly.
Since you said it, yes.
Yasugai smiled.
At least then we are honest with one another.
You use warp-born powers, said Zaven, as if by way of explanation. That, we have learned, is a sign of the enemy. They do not follow the edict, and it cost us on Istvan.
Yasugai placed his hands together. Every piece of information he was given from that damn planet was painful to hear. Such things were exactly what Ahriman and he had warned would happen if the Librarius was disbanded.
I follow commands of my Primarch, Yasugai said. If he orders me to stop using gifts, I do so. But the Khan is out of contact for a long time.
He gave Zaven a half-apologetic look.
In any case, he will take no notice of edict. None of us will. The gift is part of who we are, has been for a long time. Imagine if I tell you to put away your flamers, or you, son of Medusa, your metal hand. Would you do it?
You sound like one of Magnus's sorcerers, spat Henrikos.
I think, replied Yasugai, they speak better Gothic.
Zaven laughed, a rumble that spilled up from his enormous barrel chest.
And what are you doing out here, Chogorian? You are a long way from home.
Are we? Our ship lost bearing a long time ago.
We can help with that. What is your course?
Chondax, replied Yasugai. My Primarch is there, though I do not know if he is aware of massacre.
He will be by now, muttered Henrikos. The whole galaxy will be. Soon we will see Horus's bastards falling on worlds like locusts. Everything is open to them. Every defense destroyed.
Zaven raised a warning hand, but Henrikos kept going.
Do you not see how futile this is? We can fight for a little longer, but Ferris is gone. Vulcan and Korax are gone. It's just stalling for time. We have discussed this many times, brother, said Zaven tolerantly. And? You think there's some way to turn this around? You're a fool. I'll kill as many of them as I can and spit in their faces every time. But I'm not stupid enough to think it'll change anything.
Henrikos swept his metallic death mask around the chamber, as if daring someone to contradict him.
Vengeance. A little satisfaction. A share of pain. That's all that's left.
Zaven shot Yasugai an exculpatory look.
Bayon and I have somewhat different perspectives on the war.
I see, said Yasugai. What is yours?
Victory will come, Zaven replied calmly and without hesitation. I do not know from where, but it will come. We must be patient.
Yasugai admired the sentiment, though from what he had been told, he found it hard to share in it.
I hope you are right.
Then are you with us? Asked Henrikos. We could use some of that... What do you call it?
Weather magic, said Yasugai.
Stupid name.
The Iron Hands legionary flexed his damaged shoulders.
Hurts when it hits, though.
I have to get back to my Primarch, said Yasugai,
directing his words to Zaven.
I have dreams. Visions. He is in danger.
Zaven looked back at him equivocally.
That will be hard, and we have our own work.
Would you not fight better, joined with another legion? One intact and dangerous, and full of spellmakers like me?
Would your Khan accept us? I know nothing of him.
Few do, but I speak on your behalf.
Yasugai smiled then, as warmly as he was able to in the circumstances.
If you come with me.
Zaven looked tempted but cautious. He rested his chin, as black as burned embers, on his steepled gauntlets.
It has been a hard road, he said. At times, in the deep of the void night, I was tempted to ask for guidance. You know, in the old way, like we were taught to forget. I never did it, for we long since stopped believing in gods and monsters. Maybe we should not have been so quick to forget them.
Yasugai nodded.
Both are real.
I wonder, though, what I thought might come of such guidance had I pleaded for it. Would I be shown some sign, some way back? Would I stumble over Vulcan's trail?
Henrikos shook his head irritably.
Foolish. But something has occurred now. You have fallen into our path, though you know less than we do. What am I to make of this? Was it fated?
I do not believe in fate, said Yasugai.
Luck, then.
Even less.
Zaven raised a black eyebrow.
Then what do you believe in?
The Khan,
said Yasugai, as unhesitatingly and firmly as Zaven had spoken earlier.
Help me find him. Something can still be saved.
Henrikos snorted disdainfully, but Zaven was no longer paying any attention to him. His ebony head nodded slowly, his thoughtful gaze never leaving Yasugai.
We shall see, he said. We shall see.
The Khan rose from his throne, and his retinue stood back to let him pass. He walked slowly to the edge of the command dais, below which the full expanse of the flagship's bridge stretched away from him in terraced rows. The galaxy's starfield glittered on the other side of the armor glass observation dome, a uniform screen of infinite space. He felt the familiar urge stir within him, to power into the unknown, to range across the void as he had once ranged across the grasslands of home, beholden to no one, as free as the hunting raptors that rode the high airs.
And yet, even the Berkut are tamed, he thought to himself. They come back eventually, summoned by the bells of their master.
None of his command staff spoke. They remained silent as the entire White Scars fleet powered further from Chondax, leaving the Alpha Legion behind like a bad memory. A pursuit had not materialized yet. Even if it did, the Khan doubted that the enemy had anything fast enough to catch them. For all that, he could sense his crew's burning questions. Qing Zha wanted to turn around, to finish what had been started, to board the Alpha Legion ships and demand answers. It was a tempting proposition. Perhaps Alpharius was on board one of those ships. The Khan smiled grimly. It would be nice to drag that dissembler to his knees and rip the helm from his face. That would have been a mistake. The Alpha Legion had their combat weaknesses, but they were no fools. He would learn nothing from them unless they wanted him to have it, in which case it was useless. He folded his arms across his chest and stared up at the stars, just as he had once done in the long night chill of the Altak. The stars were his first memory. He still had fragmented recollections of muffled voices, and not Trigorian voices, shuffling around a casket in which he slept. He had dreams of whisperings in the dark, a rush of sudden indescribable speed, a whirl of dark stars and pearl-white skies, a sense of being momentarily suspended over an abyss of infinite howling depth, while greedy eyes regarded him with both fear and covetousness. Years later, he had come to understand what those visions were, confused recollections of something he had not the faculties to understand at the time, dreams of unearthly powers at once more powerful than imagination and weaker than the sickliest human newborn.
"The denizens of heaven are nothing without us," Yasugai had told him many years later. "They may only act through us. That is their great secret, and their great shame. We do not have to listen. We can go our own way."
The Zadyan Aga had always understood the relationship between the realm of the senses and the realm of dreams, and the Khan had always trusted what they said of it. "There are two great errors," a long-dead sage of Kai had written in scrolls still preserved in Kumkata. "First, to pretend that the path of heaven does not exist. Second, to follow it." Perhaps Russ had tried to snuff out the gifted forever. The Khan could well imagine Horus taking a stand against it. He was a noble soul, the noblest of them all. Sanguinius, too, had always been pure of purpose, and the third member of the Triumvirate. From the very start, it had been the four of them, the Khan, Magnus, Sanguinius, with tacit approval from the one who would one day be War Master. It was they who had labored for so long to channel and protect the arts of the Psyker within the legions. Now, if he was to believe what he was being told, one was dead, and one was missing. And what of Horus? Which story was the truth? That he was the defender of those wrongly slain by the wolves, or that he threatened to level the Imperium to its foundations? The Khan had never much cared for the Imperium, but truth, that was important, as was loyalty.
"That is the difference between the warrior and the butcher. Which one are you, brother?" "I know which I am."
"Kagan."
He turned to see Jian Zhu, his mistress of astropaths, looking up at him, her sightless eyes like milky orbs of glass in her withered face.
"More from Dorne?" he asked.
"From Russ," she replied. "Distress calls from the Alexis Nebula, demanding immediate assistance. The wolves are under attack from the Alpha Legion. He asks his brother to remember the bonds of fealty between Primarchs and come to his assistance with all the speed you are renowned for. He ends with his thanks."
The Khan turned to his retinue, smiling coldly.
"Did you hear that?" he asked. "The Wolf King complimenting us. He must be desperate."
Qing Zha looked at him steadily.
"Will we go?" he asked. "And if we do, who shall we fight for?"
Jemulan Noyan Khan, whose presence was a glittering hololith projection from the star spear, shook his head.
"The Space Wolves have always been renegades. Either we leave them alone, or we do what we have been asked and destroy them."
"They're fighting the Alpha Legion," said Hasik Noyan Khan,
also a projection.
"Refresh my memory. Were we not just fighting them ourselves?"
The Khan crossed his arms, his hawk-like face still playing with the remnants of wintry amusement.
Who knows what the Alpha Legion were up to, he said. Perhaps they too have their renegades.
Then what is your order, Kargan?
Pressed Queen Zha, ever eager to be given license to cut loose.
The fleet is armed and ready.
The Khan rested his chin on the gold-limbed magnificence of his gorget. The atmosphere in the bridge seemed to thicken, curdling with anticipation. All faces remained fixed upon him.
Send this message to Russ, he said finally,
lifting his heavy eyes towards the Mistress of Astropaths.
Tell him that we have received commands from Dorne to return to the throne world. Tell him that we cannot ignore them, much as we might like to.
He closed his eyes, shaking his head, changing his mind.
No. No lies. Tell him that we could ignore Dorne's order, but we will not. The truth is not obvious to us. We need time to uncover it.
The Khan uncrossed his arms and rested his right hand on the hilt of his dao.
Tell him that we have received disturbing news concerning Prospero, which we hope is false. Finally, tell him that when the full picture is drawn, we hope we will fight beside one another again as brothers, as we were meant to. Then wish him a safe winter, or whatever it is they wish one another when they have finished speaking.
Jian Zhu bowed and hastened away to begin the sending. Once she had gone, Qin Zha was first to speak.
Then we are heading to Terra?
He asked, disappointment evident in his voice.
That is the question, said the Khan,
turning away from the retinue and gazing back up at the starfield.
Summon the navigator. I have course instructions to give him.
Russ took the news in silence, gripping the thick fur of the two Fenrisian wolves that prowled at his feet. Bjorn watched him, noting how the Primarch's ice-blue eyes glistened with suppressed emotion. The viewports of the Hrafnikal's bridge were almost opaque with rust-red dust. The entire fleet hung in the depths of the nebula, sunk amidst the shifting clouds like fish in a reef. The aftermath of Prospero had given them time to learn every nook and shaft of the immense stellar nursery, its gravitic variances, its sensor-defying baffles. Now their warships skulked in its depths again, recovering, rearming, and waiting. Somewhere far above them, the Alpha Legion still probed and patrolled, sending void charges spinning blindly at them, prowling across the cloud margins like circling jackals. They would discover the fleet's precise location soon enough, but the respite had staved off destruction until then. It had been a ruinous, terrible retreat. Only Russ's presence had prevented it from becoming a rout. He had held things together seemingly by sheer force of will, orchestrating lightning counterthrusts, flanking moves, sudden fallbacks, all with the aim of getting as many ships into the heart of the nebula as possible before devastation overtook them. Bjorn studied him carefully. Something of the ebullience the Primarch normally displayed seemed to have been kicked out of him. He looked bruised, almost resentfully so, as if his faithful duty had been rewarded with nothing more than a face full of ashes.
Until next winter? Russ asked. He really said that?
The star speaker nodded.
An attempt at politeness, I think.
Russ snorted. Bjorn moved a little closer, ignoring the thrumming growl of the Primarch's wolves.
So, we're on our own, he ventured.
Russ nodded, not looking at him, his face tight with preoccupation.
We are.
They have always been unreliable.
They have.
Bjorn felt awkward. It was hard to witness a Primarch's self-doubt. Russ seemed to sense it and stirred himself.
You know why I wanted you close to me, One Hand? He asked.
Bjorn shook his head.
You're young.
We can all see times are changing. Russ fixed him with those penetrating, frosty eyes.
Let's be honest. We knew that something was wrong before Prospero. We used to specters on Fenris. We never believed the myths my father tried to tell us. Now that it's come at last, we can't feign surprise.
One of the wolves nuzzled against Russ's thigh, pushing its blunt, fanged head along the ridged ceramite as if to comfort its master.
I never asked him what he had in mind for us once the crusade was over, Russ went on. I never asked him if we would be needed. Hardly matters now. If this madness can't be stopped, there will never be a time when we are not needed.
Russ chortled emptily.
The irony of it. Horus has given us the purpose we were beginning to lack. He's made us useful again.
Bjorn said nothing.
You will inherit this, Russ said. Look what a mess we have made of things. Me and my beloved brothers. You will have to pick up the pieces.
Horus caused it, objected Bjorn.
And why did he turn? Asked Russ sadly. Do we know? Has that story been told?
He shook his shaggy blonde head.
Remember how this happened, One Hand? Remember it all. The Legion will need you to keep the knowledge alive.
You will not leave us, said Bjorn,
almost as if by asserting it he could be sure it were true.
I will one day, said Russ bleakly. You, I am not so sure. Your weird is unclear to me.
Then he moved himself, rolling his shoulders as if to throw off a cloak of lethargy.
But enough of this. We have work to do.
He glanced up at the nearest viewscreen. The vast profile of the Fenrisarver crawled across the viewfield, its back scorched and half-broken. The Hrafnical itself would not look much better.
The Khan be damned, said Russ.
He's always gone his own way, and we can manage without his swordplay. We've never needed help before. It was a mistake to ask for it.
He grinned. Something of the old bravado was returning.
We'll be back,
he said, grabbing the nape of the nuzzling wolf and ruffling it affectionately.
This is the lowest point. We'll sharpen our claws and blades.
The feral's smile intensified.
Trust me, he growled. They haven't seen the last of us.